Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have taught us so many great things. Lord, please open our ears to hear what Ian is saying to us. And Lord, please speak through what Ian's prepared and what Ian's saying, and open our hearts so that it may change us and challenge us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Continuing our series on being ready for opportunities to share the gospel. God is at work. He is building his church, not with stone or marble, but with people, the ones he has called to be his own. Today I'd like to give you another picture that I think is helpful in understanding what God is doing, how he is working. He is weaving our lives together in a special way that will honour him. God is creating a tapestry that is becoming his most beautiful creation. If we could get a glimpse at the front of this tapestry, what might it look like? So what would be the dark threads in this tapestry? What would be the brightest hues? Let's look at some of the threads of God's handiwork that have already been woven into this tapestry. Thanks. All creation is the backdrop for this masterpiece, the universe. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." This blue world spinning in space, the myriads of plants, the animals, us, we and all those whom the Lord God calls are part of this handiwork, and all the events that happen to God's people provide the colours for this work of art by the greatest artist of all. But there are dark threads in there too. In the midst of the beautiful colours, there is the disobedience of Adam and Eve. There is a rainbow in there. I remember that story. In the midst of joy, the joy of a people called out by God, there is the sad rejection when those same people turn their backs on their deliverer. Each story is a part of the big picture. All the colours tell the truth, but God is not deterred. He says, "I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." Enter the Son of God. Now things are brighter. Oh, the picture is taking shape. The people are listening, but not all. Some are destined for eternal life, some for destruction. The Son says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those that who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God has made a way that sinners may be saved. Heaven is open for those who repent. What colour is heaven? I'd make it gold. But how does it happen, this way into heaven? What lies in the road that spans the gulf between God and us? It looks like crimson. It is blood. And then it's dark. Black for about 3 hours. It's all there. The colour of the pain and the agony as the Saviour dies. The sadness in those that had followed. But wait, the colours are changing. They can hardly believe it. The tomb is empty. And what colour is mercy? What colour is grace? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, the picture must be nearly complete. But no, there is work to do. There are others to be gathered into God's barns. He says in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What shall we say to these people, Lord? Say to them, he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, this whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Wow, the patterns that God has included, they are all different colours and hues. There's black and white and olive, and they're from every nation under heaven. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. We can start to understand what this tapestry of God will look like. We are in it. Praise God. It must be party time. What colour am I? What was that, Lord? What did you say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Yes, Lord, we know that. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So are you saying that there are Aussies out there who you want us to bring into your kingdom? What colour will you make them? Here is a part of the tapestry that I'm keen to see how it looks. Jesus ascends to heaven, his followers left behind. What pattern and colours could portray them? Of course, they stayed together and prayed together. Tongues of fire, Holy Spirit descends. They have the Holy Spirit in them. That misty curtain that Satan had stretched over the world is being pushed back further and further. The stains of sin are being removed. God is at work. There's a clue here. They stayed together and prayed together. That day, when the crowd on Pentecost and some of the people were amazed, and some of the people thought the disciples were drunk. God was already touching and changing hearts. Peter's message drew a response only because God had already been working, not only in the lives of the disciples, but in the lives of the hearers too. God was cleansing people's hearts, 3,000 of them, white like snow. They could hear the disciples talking in their native languages, but now they could understand the message too. What colour do you paint that? Peter says, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Cut to the heart they were. Brothers, what shall we do? The magnificent tapestry is growing to show the full story as the first harvest is brought in. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The thread in this tapestry continues to run through the rest of the story. A centurion's household, a lady named Lydia, down by the river, a prison guard in Philippi. Oh, what he had to endure. Those dangerous criminals, Paul and Silas, locked up in the secure inner cells, and they sang and prayed out loud till midnight. But he was able to actually hear what they were on about. So any time you are in prison, sing and pray loudly. God's family is growing. Is this because people are sharing the gospel? Yes, but sowing the seed that can grow to understanding is necessary, and others who encourage it along the way are good. But it is only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they each will be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. Now there's another clue. We are co-workers with God. That will require communication. Last Sunday, Graham Taylor met with the leaders' development group, and he was sharing there something that I thought I would like to share here. He talked about listening. When we are with others, we need to be deliberate in our listening. Listen for possibilities of what might be. Just listen quietly, paying attention, and listen with curiosity. I believe we can see some plain colours showing up as we listen to one another in this way, but even more so when we seek to listen to God this way. This must be how Jesus was able to be prepared for all those people who flocked around him each day. He knew what was in their hearts and minds because he had listened to his Father beforehand. Colour that a pale blue that allowed you to see through it to what was ahead. Co-workers with God, what a privilege we have. What a privilege the Lord has bestowed on us. If we are to work with God, it must involve communication. And remember, two ears, one mouth. What is God doing? Who is he touching? What do we need to do? Plant? To water? Or harvest? The tapestry of God's kingdom is going to be so amazing, all the more so because we are in it. How big a part we play is dependent on our willingness to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that we can be ready for opportunities. It will involve listening, praying, sharing, and working together. Ready? Let's go.
Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I've got another verse here. It's from 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. God will always take care of us, even when seemingly bad things happen to us. Great good can come from it. If Paul and Silas had not been in prison, the jailer and the prisoners would not have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Verse 25, so this is in Acts 16, verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. The other prisoners were listening. That's a great reminder for us. Other people are always listening, always watching what we are doing. We need to make sure that they hear something good from us. When we speak, when we do. We need to be a witness for the Lord because the prisoners are listening. But it's not only the prisoners who were listening. Acts 16 tells us that the jailer was listening too. And it led him to Christ. Whenever a person comes to the Lord, there's almost always a great opportunity for them to bring others to the Lord with them. We see that in a number of places in Scripture. In 1 John, when Andrew first heard of Jesus and believed in him, the Bible says he found first his own brother Simon Peter, and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And the next verses tell us that Philip went out and found Nathanael and told him, and he came to Jesus and was saved as well. John chapter 4 tells us that when the woman was at the well and she met Jesus, she went back and told her whole town about Jesus, and many of them consequently believed. The same thing happened in the children's story today. When the Philippian jailer was saved, his whole household ended up being saved with him. God doesn't just save groups of people. God saves us individually. There's example after example where one person brings other people to the Lord in the Bible. Whenever someone comes to the Lord, they have a great opportunity to bring others to God. And if it's real in a person's life, they want to bring the ones that they love to Jesus as well. And if Jesus is real in someone's life, the people around them will see it and will want to come to Jesus as well. The Bible verse, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If you want to be an electrician, what do you do? Where do you go? How do you become an electrician? You go off and you study. You be an apprentice. If you're going on a holiday, what do you need to do? Well, you need to plan where you're going to go, where you're going to stay, how you're going to get there, what times you can travel there, that type of thing. You need to book holidays with your work. So I'm going to ask, who here sets goals? Who here has ever set a goal in their life to achieve something? It's pretty much all of us. Who here has a goal for evangelism? Who knows what to say? Well, sometimes we have to do some preparation, just like we did for our holiday or to be an electrician. We have to sometimes plan things. At the church camp a couple of years ago, there was a great little session where we had to write down and prepare our testimony. Now, I'd never done that before. I've given my testimony, but I'd never thought of having it written down so that I could just have it in my head so that I can just give it to anyone at any moment. Every other time I've sort of sat down and prepared it. But having it there already pre-prepared, ready to give to someone, is exactly what it's saying in Colossians. I'm going to give you a minute to think about who you might evangelize to this week. Who you might evangelize to this month or this year. Okay, let's think. Hopefully by now you've got some plans in your head of people that you can talk to. People who you've now got a purpose to go and go over to them and strike up a conversation. We don't want to ram God down their throat. We don't want to push them away. But we want to listen to them. Want to express the joy that we feel as well. We want them to be saved after all. Now, I've been reading out Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. I want you, for all those that have got their Bibles out, look at a few verses before, at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should. Notice what Paul says there a number of times. Pray. Pray for us. Okay, now we spent a minute thinking about the people. Now I want you to spend a minute to pray to God about giving you the opportunity, the words to say, the things to say to these people that you're going to meet. And we're going to do it silently in our heads. The Bible verse says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open up a door for our message. So now I want to spend another minute where we're praying for other people. We're praying for everyone else here in the church that God will use those moments. So let's pray for them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a wonderful, glorious God. Lord, we want to share the glory and the joy that we have in you with other people. Lord, may you season our conversations with salt. May you open up the other people so that they may hear. Lord, give us the opportunities to talk to people, to bring them to you. Lord, open up their ears to hear. Lord, give us the words to say. Lord, help us to study the Bible so that we may know the verses to answer with. Lord, give us the person skills so that we may comfort the people when they're in trouble, when they're in sadness. And Lord, use those terrible things in people's lives. Use wonderful things in people's lives. Use them all to bring them to you and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.